eyes changed as well, and they became, in the gospel it says, as bright as a flash of lightning. They became dazzling white. And not only was Jesus changed, Moses and Elijah also appeared in glorious splendor, and they were speaking with Jesus about what was about to happen in him as he was going to journey on to Jerusalem, about his imminent death. Now, the disciples might have just missed the whole thing, but they woke up and they saw the end of this scene, and they saw Jesus in all his glory, and Moses and Elijah. And as Moses and Elijah were about to leave, I can imagine Peter saying, "Stay right there." He was so excited. He wanted to just stay with that amazing experience. But that wasn't to be. A cloud then came and enveloped everyone there, and a voice came from the cloud, God's voice, that said, "This is my son whom I have chosen. Listen to him." And the disciples, they were terrified, as you can imagine, fell on their faces, and Jesus came and touched them and said, "Get up, don't be afraid." Now, Peter, James, and John had seen Jesus in all his heavenly glory, along with the heavenly bodies of Moses and Elijah. But why were they there? Why not just Jesus? And I believe it was because they represented the law and the prophets. Moses gave the law, and Elijah was one of the major prophets. And right at the beginning of Jesus' ministry, he said in the Sermon on the Mount, "Do not think that I've come to abolish the law or the prophets. I've not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them." So Jesus' ministry was validated by the presence of these two, Moses and Elijah. Now, thinking about Jesus and the change in his face, in Luke's gospel, it just said that his face changed, the likeness of it changed. But if we look at Matthew and Mark's gospel, they use the word transfigured. We call the whole episode the transfiguration. Now, the word transfigured, or it can be translated transformed, the literal meaning is a word that's almost like our word metamorphosis. In fact, it's virtually the same word. So what happened to Jesus in front of the disciples was metamorphosis. He changed into his heavenly likeness. And because of Jesus' divinity, because he was the Holy Son of God, what the disciples saw happening on the outside was what was within Jesus. What was it within, in the inside, changed to the outside. That's what metamorphosis is. It's something that changes from the inside to the outside. And when we hear of, say, like a caterpillar changing into a butterfly, it doesn't magically turn into something else. That change is already within the caterpillar, and it comes out when its time comes to shed its skin. So they saw who Jesus really was. After all their questioning and doubts, and this must have been reassuring. But of course we know that they still remained confused about many things, about what was going to happen and what Jesus was on about when he said he was going to die, when he was going to rise again, and all about whether their country was going to be liberated from the Romans. They didn't really know all of that, but there was some transformation change took place at that mountaintop. Something changed. And maybe when they came down the mountain, maybe the people around couldn't see a difference in that, in the disciples, but there was a difference. A change had begun. And when we see Jesus as he really is, we are changed. We're changed on the inside. We are transfigured, transformed. We read in Paul's letter to the Corinthians, his second letter, "And we who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory are being transformed into his likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who's the Spirit." In the King James Version, it says, we're changed from glory to glory. Now, the amazing thing is that this transformation is the same word for us as for Jesus, the metamorphosis. I think that's really exciting, that we can be changed in that sort of way. And so we are changed from within, but our change doesn't come because of who we are without Jesus. What our change comes from is the reflection of the glory of Jesus. It's because we see Jesus, who he really is, that this change, this metamorphosis, can begin. We are transformed into his likeness, becoming more like Jesus through the Holy Spirit and his work in us. We read in Colossians, Christ in you. That's Christ in you and Christ in me, the hope of glory. So we are transformed by seeing who Jesus really is. We're transformed by the good news. We're transformed by the gospel. If anyone is in Christ, they're a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. So great news, transformation. We're all transformed, but we're not quite there yet. It's not a once and for all transformation, as we know. Not instant, but incremental. Our transformation is slow. I mean, if you think about Peter, for instance, he was transformed on that mountaintop, but we read of all his mistakes and everything and his denial of Jesus and all that. After that event, he wasn't perfectly changed, but the change was on its way. It was beginning. So our transformation is often painfully slow, and I think we don't notice it. But other people will see it in us. We are being transformed, metamorphosized with ever-increasing glory, one day at a time, becoming like Jesus, one day at a time. How on earth does this happen? Well, Jesus gave us some insight. When he was teaching, he said that what's on the inside of a person shows up on the outside. And we read earlier in Luke's gospel, the good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart, and the evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For out of the overflow of his heart, his mouth speaks. So transformation has to happen on the inside. We can't just try to change ourselves, because it might work for an hour, a day, a week. It doesn't work. It's not a permanent change. We can pretend to each other. We can try to look holy. We can come walking into church thinking, oh, I'm ever so holy. But what's in the heart shows up on the face. Did you know that? Perhaps that should worry us. But when our hearts are changed, our faces glow. Have you met Christians? Their faces are glowing. I once was outside John Lewis, and I saw this man. I thought, he just seems to me like a Christian. And I saw him in the distance. He just got that kind of face. And I didn't think I knew him. And when I got closer, I thought, I recognize him. I don't know his name, but I've seen him somewhere in church somewhere. And we can tell sometimes just by looking at the faces of people that Christ is on the inside. So perhaps we need a bit of help in this transformation process. We know we can't do it ourselves. It's the work of the Holy Spirit in us. And we get some help from Paul and his letter to the Romans in Romans 12. He says, I urge you to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed. That word again, the same word, metamorphosis, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Everything starts in the mind. Thoughts come before every word. They come before every action. So it's in our minds where this transformation begins. When the disciples saw Jesus up that mountain, what do you think they were thinking? Whatever they were thinking, that's where the transformation was beginning. It was beginning in their minds and in their thoughts. And as we know, through reading the scriptures and what happened in the end, when they, you know, in the early church, we can read about their transformation, because it is just so wonderful and so obvious. But that transformation is for all of us. So what does Paul say? Offer our bodies to the living God. Give ourselves to God, first of all. That's our part. And to not fall to the temptations of the world. There's I don't know which translation it is, because I can't find it again, but it says, do not let the world squeeze you into its own mold. Not to live by the values of the culture around us, but to live by godly values. So we to offer our bodies to God, offer ourselves to God, be aware of temptation, and then be transformed in our minds by the Holy Spirit. And of course, the wonderful thing is that it's God's plan. It's not that we've got to get ourselves transformed and worry about it, but just be open and God will come, transform us, change us as individuals, as fellowships, as churches. Just imagine the the ultimate transformation. When we see him, we shall be like him, like Jesus. Amen.